أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. One sister, she asked me a question. She said, if the age make a difference in my journey of loving Allah? And I say, yes. Why? If you are, for example, 14, 15 years old, you do not have too much bad habits. You do not have too much dirt in your heart. And once you start learning Islam and you really want to go to Allah, you can go so fast, very fast. But when you are older, even if you want, you have many sins, many dirt, many bad habits, many diseases of the heart, many attachments. Now, do you think you can go just like that? No. Now, once you go and knock on the door of Allah, I was telling some sister with me today, the moment you are sincere and knocking on the door of Allah, you will be tried. You will be examined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He loves you now, you will start cutting some of the means, some of the attachment. And if you are really honest with loving Allah, you will continue. If you're not loving Allah and you have a lot of doubt and you are very weak, you will run after the attachment and you forget your journey. And this is the majority we're having today. Now, do you really have the sweetness of loving Allah? Not yet. Because the sweetness of loving Allah, it comes only, and let me hear it from me, it comes only when you have no attachment in your heart. None. Meaning day and night you think about Zawar. Day and night you think about Zawar. Your love, your devotion, your attachment. What about my kids? What about my husband? What about anything I own? Is that even in my mind? Is that in my heart? Yes, I can take care about my husband, I can take care about my house, I can take care about everything. Is that in my heart? If Allah take it from me, then all of a sudden, it will then bother me. I will be very happy. But it's not easy. At this moment only, you start having the sweetness of loving Allah. But today, we don't love Allah that we have as a attachment. I visit a brother, very beautiful brother, and I visit him approximately maybe a month ago, or maybe a little bit more. And he gave me something similar to you. He told me, I really want reach. I want reach Allah. I told him, do you really want reach Allah? He said, yes. I said, okay. Honest to Allah deep inside, what do you love? And whatever you love, you have to spend the maximum amount of your love to Allah. The same night, before I leave, all of a sudden, I find he gave me a socks. A socks. But a heavy socks, like this much. I said, what is that? He told me, please, I want to listen to you. I want to do exactly what you tell me. I want to really reach Allah. He told me, please, this sounds an attachment in my heart. Please take it, do whatever will it for Allah. I go home. Do you know what the socks was? Full of money. Full of money, thousands and thousands of dollars. And even the way he gave it to me, unbelievable. He gave it to me and he ran. He ran, he doesn't even look at me. By this way, the moment you do that, whatever attachment, I was in Mecca almost 7 years ago, and I was talking like that in a horrible hotel. A hotel. All of a sudden, some people talk to me, I talk to them. And before you know it, a caravan coming, new Hajji coming. They just arrived home from Syria. And a woman was in public. She's sitting with an old man, and all of a sudden, she whispered to the old man. And after she whispered to the old man, she called me. And she said, please, can I be a partner with you? I said, I do not understand. She said, please. And she started doing like this. And a big, heavy, what do you call it? What do you call them? Bangles or whatever you call them, I do not know, I'm not familiar. And all of a sudden, she gave me a bunch of them. And she told me, please, when you go to America or here, whatever, sell it and spend it for Allah and make me a partner with you. Now, what happened to us? We hear sessions, but we do not want to do. You can hear until blow your head off. I promise you, you're not going anywhere. You only start going when you spend it. What happens if I have no money? The attachment can be for a boy, for a girl, for a husband, for even a dream, for anything. You will never go to Allah with attachment, I promise you. I cannot tell you about certain things happening in my life, but one day, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the attachment has been cut. Everything. Meaning, I am in the highway. I have nothing in this life. And by the will of Allah, I receive a gift. from a brother I love so dearly. And this gift was a book of two volumes. And I took it. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave me a beautiful gift. I meet a man, this man he liked me, he gave me the key of his own palace, not a house, a palace, in the top of the mountain. And he told me, please, I'm not living here. You take it, it stays the way you are. I was living there for 2.5 years. But the problem here is, the first action I did when I was in this house, I started reading this book. And once I started reading, I was crying. You know what I was crying of? Allah. Do you know what the book was saying in the first topic? He said, if Allah loved you, He cut all the attachment away from you. If Allah loved you, He cut all the attachment away from you. All the attachment, He has to cut it. This if He loved you. By this way, all of a sudden you become singular. You become only for Him. At this moment, and no other moment before, you start receiving the sweetness of relationship between you and Allah. Because Allah is one, and He's so jealous. He doesn't like partner with Him in the heart of anyone. If you study the topic of loving Allah, Allah will not like anybody with Him. By the way, it's written in An'am, something we didn't really go through it. Do you know what is it? The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now we have to understand something. Why in the early of Mecca, Allah giving the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and all this version of stories? Why? Why Allah give a story? What's the wisdom behind the story of Quran? To teach us. To let us know what happened before us. Because let me tell you something. If you study Quran and know Islam, the sunnah of Allah is the same. The way of Allah dealing with others is the same. Never change. Never. If you think Allah will deal with you different than other people before, you are nuts. Allah promised in Quran, وَلَا تَجِدْ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَا تَجِدْ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. No change and no any different. None. By this way, even if you study, it's almost like, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you go through, people go through before you. Do they ever feel you are unique? Yes, you are unique, but what you go through, all messenger prophet went through. And then the companion the same. Now, we have to stop it here for a moment. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His ultimate wisdom, reveals the Quran for us to hear in America 14 or 1500 years later. Why Allah left in Quran certain story and certain messages? Because this Quran and messages is a living wisdom until the day of judgment. Is a living wisdom until the day of judgment. This is why I said before, if you do not understand the basic wisdom of the message of Mecca, you will never go to Medina. You will never go anywhere. Meaning you cannot implement any Islam. You cannot carry Islam. You cannot develop Islam in you. And we want to go through it, but when we finish, inshallah. By this way, the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one stage, which a lot of people do not see, cleansing, cleaning, inside out. Now, the fastest you do to clean, the fastest Allah comes to you. Now, you have two ways. I will teach you something. It's two ways. Either you go toward Allah by spending what you love so quick, if you can and you have the power, by the rule of Allah and Tawfiq. If you cannot and you're so weak, ask Allah, Allah with me. Purify me and give me Tawfiq, give me strength. And also, if you have sin, if you have truthfulness, you will keep begging Allah day and night of what we're talking about. Can I beg Allah once a week? Can I beg Allah once a month? No. It has to be daily, morning or night. I bear witness in here in America, in Bronx, one sister, a new shahada, a new Muslim. One time she called me and she did the story. You know the story, the end of the story, me, she saw angels. She saw angels. A young girl, 23 years old, in the bars. Can somebody see angels? Yes. Can somebody have a companion of angel? Yes. You do not know what this girl went through. But this girl is a difference between us and her. She took the advice and she lived it. She lived it. In the middle of all the crisis, she used to sit down just towards the Qibla and doing dhikr for days. Just remembering Allah and calling Allah. And she asked Allah to cleanse her, to take everything away from her. To the point, even before she became a Muslim, she used to say, "Oh Allah, oh the Creator, I love too many things. I do not want to love too many things anymore. Make me love you only, Ya Allah." Right? So all of the life she only aiming for one thing. She said, "Oh Allah, oh the Creator, do not make me attached to nobody except you. Do not make me love anybody except you." And she went through it. Meaning she won't really this topic. And Allah tried her in many, many hardship. But when the Lord happened, she did it. She did it. I give you an example. She has no food. She has nothing at the house. I collect some money, some grocery, I do give it to her. The following day she has nothing. Not even that, the same night she has nothing. I said, "What happened?" She said, "You teach me to be a generous. How will Allah give me? I keep it. I believe in Allah. I went and I distributed to all the neighbors, Muslim and non-Muslim." One day, she has like $100. This is all she has. She has nothing else. She left me an envelope with $100 inside. And the letter like that. "You tell me I'm a student. And you are my teacher. And you teach me to sacrifice. And you teach me generosity. Please don't tell me no. I know you might tell me I do not have, but please, Allah is the owner. You're not my creator, Allah is the creator. You're not the provider, Allah is the provider. And you teach me that. Please take it, it's meant for Allah." Now, do you want Allah to give you what He gave her? Tell me. Do you want Allah to give you what he gave her? She's spending 100% of her capital. Allah will give her a huge difference. Even sometimes I used to get her some clothing. The same clothing, it would be disrupted the same day, not even the following day. And she's not having nothing. She's really a unique Muslim girl. 23 years old. 23 years old. And she came from where? From the street. She came from the street. Meaning she has multiple boyfriends from the time when she was 14. She living as a street girl. And look what Allah accepted. When Allah accept, Allah accept. When Allah open, Allah open. If you meet her today and you talk to her, she makes you cry. Because she has nothing in her heart except only one thing, love Allah. But you see, love Allah is not a topic you talk about and you listen. No. You would be a dreamer. You would be a dreamer. Abu Bakr Siddiq would never reach what he lived, what he reached, if he's a talker like us. Or Umar bin Khattab, any one of them. They were a doer. But when you want to reach, be a doer. Be a doer and don't delay. Like I said, this is don't delay. Don't delay any good deed. If you delay, you're a liar. Or you're so weak. Or the reality of what you're saying is not coming in your heart. Because if I believe in something, and what I'm believing is so, so strong, I will never wait. I will never wait. Nobody can stop me. Nobody. Nobody. No husband, no wife, no father, no mother, no money, no step, nothing. And this is the reality of Islam. This is the reality of submission and surrender. But today we submit and surrender to everybody and we want the love of Allah. No way. Imagine the man I told you about the meeting in Mecca, the one who sent this work. He told me, I'm sending this work in Ramadan, I make more money in Ramadan than the whole year and even Hajj. Because the kind of people coming in the time of Ramadan, they pay big money. But he said, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Ramadan, I do not spend it in Mecca. Every Ramadan, before Ramadan, I'm already in Medina, it's been the whole month in Medina. I don't care about my income. I don't care about the sweetness I receive in Mecca, in Medina. By this way, when you are honest, you run toward what you want. When you are honest, you love toward what you want. You do not wait. You do not delay. You believe in what you want. You are running toward it. And this will Allah love you more. Because now you are a true believer. But the more you delay, the reality of your belief is not coming yet. Do you understand it or no? And I'm going to go through it very, very soon. Now we go to verse, we start at verse 125. Now we go to verse 131. Surah Al-An'am. Still in Surah Al-An'am. Verse 131. Surah Al-An'am, chapter number 6. Is anybody can recite it loud and clear? Where is the lady? She wants to recite loud and clear. Can you do the same? 131. Very loud and very clear.
People and you divide it.
It will time to come when you see warning over and over again about division. Today we have division even in our own family. Why? When the heart is divided, when the heart is away from Allah, we are divided. Because what's the glue? Glue our heart together. Iman. Iman is a glue. The faith is a glue. Glue our heart. The more we have faith, the more we are glued to each other. The more we do not have faith, the glue is weak. And the heart is divided. And also this verse is related to Al-Khawarij. Al-Khawarij is a group of people which generating the first group ever did they have a division away from Islam. Because one of the unity of Islam is when you have a Khalifa, you never say no to the Khalifa. You never get away from the Khalifa. People can go to the time of Muawiyah, the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. This period of time, historically, is corrupted. A lot of corruption among us. Don't touch it. We should learn from that. We should learn what? About division. The problem today, we're not having any knowledge about anything, really concrete knowledge. But this is another topic, I do not want to go through it now. By this way, always my message is build sincerity, build the pure connection to Allah, do the good deeds the way, the maximum you can, and don't label yourself. You want labeled, say, I'm a Muslim. Finished. Follow Quran and Sunnah, and that's it. Don't have any label, no title. Because the moment you have a label, meaning what about another person? What about another group? Very dangerous, extremely dangerous. Because if we're honest to Allah, if our leader is honest to Allah, they will click a phone call, email, and before you know, they meet together. And among each other, they click in one and finished. You see? But every group is stuck, and they won't believe in what they are. And even if the owners, they said, excuse me, none of us qualified, let's have a scholar to be above us, give us the advice, and that's it. Finished. This is Islam. Now I will come to the most beautiful two verses in Surah Al-An'am. It's actually 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. It's five. Approximately five verses. The last five verses, which is from 160, actually 161. 161 to the end of the chapter. Can you read it very loud, very clear, very slowly? 161 to the end of the chapter.
Say, shall this four or five verses is one of the unique verses in the whole Quran. It summarizes the whole chapter. You remember what I told you about Makki Surah? The beginning is a message, and always the end is a message and advice. And this is the one. And this has many, many stories with me. Because actually, all of us, you know what you need? If the summer goes by, and you do not learn except this four or five verse, you done. It containing all the message of Allah. Everything is here. Everything. Explaining everything in detail. And this, I never allowed to go like that. These verses I love so much, you cannot believe it. Especially verse 161, 162. Keep reciting at least 3-4 times, 7 times. 161, 162. But recite it slowly and see what it means. Waleed, can you go in the back and get me English Quran? It's okay, it's done. Do you have English Quran in here? Okay, give it to your brother. And show him 161, 162. No, not in that, behind Dr. Jamil. 161, 162. It's done. Habib, come here. 161, 162. Keep your assignment. And try to understand. Believe me, this is enough. This is enough. And when you finish, let me know. Nabila, you translated to Nabila? Why not? What's that? Why you cannot? Whatever you can. Anything better than that. Try as much as you can. What do you gain from these verses? Anybody finish it and tell me? Only these two. Believe me, these two verses enough to change your life. Yes. MashaAllah. You summarize it so nicely. One day they ask her, what you gain from these two verses? She said, La ilaha illallah. No one except Allah. Actually, it's a whole message. Come on quick, move quick. This two verse, it has a story with me, almost 10 years ago. I went to one club in Ramadan, and around midnight. Yes, one club. Everybody was playing like poker, dancing, singing, alcohol. And I went to the club because some people told me, please, can you come to this club? This club used to be a masjid. And the Muslim there takes the masjid away and they make it into a club. I cannot tell you where it is located. It's here in America. And a huge one. Huge. Like at least 4 or 5 times the size of this place. Huge. And when you go in Ramadan, Ya Allah. All night gambling. And I never forget it. These two verses, I recite them. But when I recite them, something happened to me. I felt I'm not here. And I felt I'm already descended. And the microphone was in my hand. But I felt the microphone is not in my hand. And I started shaking so hard. And I start repeating the verses, the two. I keep repeating it. And after that, I spoke for a few minutes, and I cried and I left. Because these two verses, if you really read them with your heart, is a huge difference. Huge difference. But if you read them as a Muslim, as a heart, really huge difference. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم دينا قيما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين قل أغير الله أبغي ربا وهو رب كل شيء ولا تكسب كل نفس إلا عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض ورفع بعضكم فوق بعض درجات لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ صدق الله العظيم قل إنني هداني ربي say Allah guide me He's my Lord to the straight path دينا قيما a way of life A way of life, not a religion, not a Quran, a way of life. Deenan, a way of life. Qiyaman, very exalted, very high. Millata Ibrahim Hanifa, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When I came in al-Mushrikeen, he never was associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي Say, my salah, my prayer, وَنُسُكِي and my way of life, and what I'm doing, and my ritual, and everything. وَمَحْيَايَ and my life, وَمَمَاتِي and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ All to do and belong to my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb. You see, again in Mecca, Rabb al-Alameen. La sharika lah. No partner and no association with him. Wa bidalika umirt. And this is the way I have been commanded. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I am the first Muslim.
قُلْ أَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِي رَبَّا Say, is anyone I can see to be my Lord better than Allah or rather than Allah, my Rabb, my Lord, my Creator? وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ And He is the owner and the Lord of everything.
وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةً وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهِ And every soul will not gain except what they did. Every one of us, we did not gain except what we're doing. Of good deed or bad deed. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةً وِزْرَ أُخْرَى Don't gain or earn bad deed after bad deed. ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم. You will go back to your Lord. فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون. He will tell you about all the different among each other. وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض. He created you and He made you His own representative in earth. Do you know who we are? As a mankind, Khalifa. We are representative of Allah on earth. 5 years ago, I was studying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beautiful name of Allah, and wonder what happened. I was shocked. Do you know what's the ultimate what Allah wants from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to live among each other with His quality. He wants us to live among each other with His quality. Sure, we will never live with the quality of Allah, but we can try. He's our Lord, the one He gives us. You want to know how Allah deals with you? See how you're dealing with other. We said Allah is merciful. We should be merciful to each other, merciful to mankind. Allah is peace. We should generate peace among each other and to mankind. Allah is Wadud, the loving one. We should spread it. Allah is Afu, He's the most forgiving. And even Afu is higher than forgiving. Because forgiving is Afu. What's the difference between Afu and Afu? Afu is the one who forgives. But Afu is the one who forgives and erases everything. This is why when Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I see the light of power in Ramadan, what do you want me to say, Ya Rasulullah? Said, Allahumma innaka afuun, kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afani. Oh Allah, you are afuun. This is your quality. You like to forgive and erase. One scholar, actually Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahmatullah alayhi wa radiallahu anha, he said something so beautiful. He said, if you won't know what Allah will do with you in the day of judgment, see how you do with others. If you want to know how Allah will deal with you in the day of judgment, see how you deal with others, you will know. If you're generous, Allah will be generous with you. If you're forgiven, Allah will be forgiving you. If you have afu, Allah will give you afu. Today, one of the diseases of Ummah I hear from many sisters, and many brother, he said, I will never forgive my wife. I will never forgive my husband. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We become so hard at heart. You talk to your own sister or your own mother. She told you, remember what you took me 25 years ago? I will never forgive you. What kind of Islam is that? Where's the mercy? What happened to our heart? Do you think what you're saying is something nice? You'll be stuck in the front of Allah, and Allah will tell you why. And listen to the scenario now if you like it. You do not forgive people, okay. You want your right, no problem. But after you finish, now Allah will tell you, I will not forgive you. Come on, give me your rights. Give me my rights.
and at this time you would wish you forgive everybody on earth. Because if Allah does not forgive you in the Day of Judgment, we are in big trouble. And we think, mashallah, I will not forgive so-and-so. I will not forgive so-and-so. Who are you? If Allah is our ultimate forgiver, you won't destroy yourself, be who you are. You won't really be a winner. Learn the most beautiful name of Allah. And every day look at the name of Allah and ask yourself, where am I? Where am I from these names? Where's my quality? And even us as a Muslim do not know. When Allah created Adam, He said, I'm ja'al al-ard khalifa. I'm going to have khalifa in my earth. He did say Muslim. Meaning all mankind is khalifa. But after that, what are you doing as a khalifa? You can be a stray khalifa, you can be a denied khalifa, you can be a lunatic khalifa, you can be an obedience khalifa, you can be a loving khalifa. But all of us representative of Allah. Do you know if this only this sentence we get it? This should scare us. What kind of science? What kind of quality I'm going with people with? How are the people reacting with me? How are we reacting with people? Every time I deal with people, what I meet them with? What impression they have about me? Like one scholar, very pious man, some man went to him. He said, I have a question for you. He said, go ahead. He said, who am I? How I know who am I? He said, my son, people are two, only two. Either a slave to Allah or a slave to Shaitan. There's no three. There's no three. Either a slave to Allah or a slave to Shaitan. He said, okay, how I know which is which? He said, okay. He said, the slave of Allah, if you see him, he make you remember Allah. And if he talk, he make you closer to Allah. And if you need him, he will support you in whatever you need. He said, what about the slave of Shaitan? He said, if you see him, he make you forget Allah. And if he talk, he leads you away from Allah. And if you need him, you cannot find him. Do you know what I mean? Look at us when we meet each other. What are we talking about? Once I see you, what I remember you with? Your behavior, so when you look, what it will make me remember? And if you talk, what you want to talk about? If you talk about all nonsense, your own problem, you're not content. Do you know what I mean? At this moment, are you a slave to Allah or a slave to Shaitan? Or only talk about the car, the money, this and that, the job. Meaning what? You remind you of what? Dunya. Is dunya belong to Allah or Shaitan? Shaitan. Please be careful. Any moment in your life, either you are a slave to Allah or a slave to Shaitan. What about games? What about computer? What about all the nonsense we do? Meaning I'm not a slave to Allah. And you want to reach Allah. You want to reach Allah? Cut down all the attachment and all kind of nonsense in your heart and your tongue. And be careful. If you're really a Muslim, you know what you should do? If people look at me, what I remind them with? If I talk to people, what I make them close to? And especially for you, the one who carry Quran, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. If you know what you're doing, you should dig a hole and bury yourself alive. Because what you're doing and what you're saying. Because once you carry Quran, you should be the ultimate role model of Quran. You should be the role model of Quran. You should be the example. People look at you and say, he's a carrier, he's a one who carry Quran. Otherwise, you will be a destruction to Quran, and Quran will destruct you. And if you do not believe me, wait until you die and you will remember. But it will be too late. And all of us, once I have a beard, once you have a hijab, you have a duty. What is the duty? To make sure everybody loves you, everybody respects you, everybody wants to get closer to you by your manner. Don't deal with people with arrogance. Don't deal with people with bad behavior. Don't do that. With Muslim, non-Muslim, with animal, with anybody. Because you slave to Allah, you're not slave to anybody. You're reporting to Allah, you're not reporting to nobody. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. He created us to make us Khalifa in earth. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. He elevated us in levels above each other. Level in beauty, level in manner, level in quality, level in money, level in piety, level in everything. Why? Why? Why Allah created us different? Why Allah created us not the same? Our color is different. Our mentality is different. Our piety is different. Our beauty is different. Our body is different. Our status is different. Our money is different. Why? Yes, I mean. A trial. What does it mean, trial?
It does mean that if you don't see somebody,
you see somebody who has a knife, and then you don't have the chance, you will empty your consent. Yeah. Do you hear that? What's the meaning of ابتلاء? ابتلاء meaning a trial, a big examination. فِيمَا أَتَاكُمْ. If we understand this word, do we can gain whatever we want? No. It's all a gift from Allah. Who you are, the way you look like, your mind, your heart, your body, your money, everything, you cannot change. You cannot say, excuse me, money, take me back, I want another one. Can you do that? Can you go to your mommy and say, excuse me, put me back in your body? I want to be a different shape, different color, more intelligent, more whatever, a little bit shorter, a little bit heavier, a little bit taller, a little bit great, whatever. Can you do that? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us different as a trial. To see what we're going to do. This is the whole purpose. By this way, can a Muslim envy? Can a Muslim be jealousy? Hate? No. Can a Muslim compare? No. Can a Muslim say, I wish I have such and such? No. The only thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا حسد إلا فتنتين. And here he said the hasad al-ghibta. To be happy about your own brother or sister. Man, Allah gave him money, he spent it day and night for Allah. And a man, Allah gave him knowledge, he spent it day and night for Allah. This is the only two. What about if I see another Muslim brother or sister, they have more than me? I make dua for them. I give Allah, oh Allah, give them sincerity. Oh Allah, save them from what they have. Oh Allah, give them what they have a trial for them. Oh Allah, let them spend what they have for you, Ya Allah. And I keep doing that. I keep doing that. And what about me? If I see somebody higher than me, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I make dua for the person. What about if I see somebody lower than me? In diseases, in quality, in money, in anything, I say, Alhamdulillah, Thank Allah, الذي عافانا مما ابتلى به كثيرا من عبادي وفضلني تفضيلا. Thank Allah and praise to Allah. The one He chose me and He doesn't give me the calamities a person has. And He chose me among His people. Because for every one of us, if you look, you have been chosen by Allah. Even if you do not like who you are, you are still chosen by Allah. For wisdom, Allah knows. Once he believed, Allah is wise. Once he believed, Allah is seen and he knows. Once he believed, Allah is the fashioner and the creator. None of what we think about it will be either. All is done. But only when you believe, when you return it to Allah. This topic, please. This topic is so dangerous because I see us today with a contempt. We're looking into each other. We compare. We envy. We jealousy. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Al-hasid aduun lillah. The one who do envy, the one who do hasad, is the enemy of Allah. You cannot look with the eye of envy. You cannot. At this moment, you will be hated by Allah. Always you should be in a state of contentment and thank Allah for what He gives you. Even if you have the ultimate calamity, you still thank Allah for what He gives you. Don't ever forget that. And this actually is the secret of happiness. What is Allah, you know what He said? He said, if you want to know, you are among Jannah people or Hellfire people? He said, one word. One word. He said, if you live with it, you are among the people of Jannah. If you do not live it with it, you are among the people of Hellfire. Do you know what this word is? Only one word. What's that? Yeah, but one word. One quality. I just said it a few minutes ago. Rida. Because in Jannah, everybody has rida. Everybody is happy in Jannah. But that's why he said, if you are happy in earth of what Allah give you, Allah will make you happy in the hereafter. But doesn't mean I don't go and do bad deed and go to nightclubs and do mischief at earth and say I'm happy. No. When you do good deed and you content and happy of what Allah ordained and give you, at this moment only, you will be happy in this life and after. And you will be the most richest man on earth. Is this understood? إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He severely tortured people so quick. وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Do you know what Allah did to us? Allah gave us a gift He never gave it to anybody before us. In the time of Bani Israel, anybody commits sins, the following day in the morning, his door will be marred of his own sin. By the way, everybody knows what you've done at night. Imagine. Allah is hidden it. Allah is hidden it. It's a hadith or a riwayah. I forget, it was Ibrahim alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam. He asked Allah, allow me to see the sins of people. And Allah allowed him for some time. And the messenger, every time he sees a bad person sins, he gets anger. He said, Allah, take him, ya Allah, kill him, destroy him. And he's a messenger, Allah, take him. After a while, the messenger sees a person sins. He said, oh Allah, take him, he's a sinner, take him. He keep doing that. And after a while, the messenger cannot see anybody's sins anymore. He said, oh Allah, nobody commits sins anymore? He said, no, I have it for you. I'm mercy of people from you. He said, did you not know now why I'm hiding the sins of my servant between me and him? By his wounds you will not be disgraced. I cover them up. I cover my own slaves. I do not like them to be disgraced. He said, Allah is your sinner. He said, if I allow you, you will kill all of them. Who will be left to make istighfar and tawbah and tell me, Ya Rabb, forgive me? He said, I allow them to be a sinner, to call me and say, oh Allah, forgive me, I forgive them. This why don't ever point a finger to nobody. Don't ever put people down. It's not our job. It's not our job. You never know who is what. Because in the one moment, the person you look down at him, Allah can give him tawbah and tomorrow he will be much better than you. You carry the sin and Allah forgive you. And this was the reason Muslim look to the sinner with the eye of mercy. Oh Allah, guide so and so. Oh Allah, give him tawbah, Ya Allah. Allow me to spread guidance, Ya Allah. Allow me to be the bird who spread love and peace and guidance, Ya Allah. And mercy on mankind, Ya Allah. What you're spreading is who you are. Don't ever forget. What you're spreading is who you are. And the way you spread things, this who you are between you and Allah. Are we spreader of hellfire or paradise? Tell me. Is a Muslim spreader of hellfire or paradise? Is a Muslim spreader of the mercy of Allah or the torture of Allah? How we spread the mercy of Allah? Tell me. How? When we do not even carry it in ourselves. Like one scholar, he said, if you do not mercy to yourself, how you do be mercy to others? If you do not save yourself from hellfire, how you save others? Tell me. If you're not kind to yourself, how you be kind to others? If you're not generous to yourself, how you be generous to others? This is Surah Al-An'am, and there's many stories inside, but I continue, my wisdom is, and my purpose, how to get the major sign and understanding of every chapter, because the time is running very quick. Any question about Surah Al-An'am? All the ahkam, all the fiqh, I do not talk about it. I talk about Iman only, from only one angle, faith in Allah and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I believe this is a pillar. The pillar of building faith, building Iman and Yaqeen, building tawakkul, building love, building devotion, building mercy. If you do not build those, now any knowledge on earth can benefit you. After that, ahkam will come. And you do it to yourself, not to other. And you spread it among others according to their level. Is this understood? Any question, any concern? My advice to myself first and you, try to memorize these 2 or 3 verses or 5 verses and try to repeat them day and night between yourself and Allah. At least 161 and 162. Keep reciting them. Keep looking at them. Keep asking yourself, where am I from these 2 verses? Because these 2 verses, I swear to Allah, these 2 verses is enough to change your life. It's enough to change your life. One scholar, his name is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he actually has a book. This book, subhanAllah, also one of the books changed my life. You know what he said? What's the name of the book? إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. I'm migrating toward Allah. What do you think? إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. I am migrating toward Allah. Can you migrate to anybody better than Allah? Can anybody give you more than Allah? Can anybody make you happy more than Allah? Okay, if I do not migrate toward Allah, I migrate toward who? My nafs, my hawa, my shaitan, my temptation, my sickness, my destruction. There's no another way. Either you go one way or another way.
I'm going now to jump, different jump now. We're going to go to Surah Al-Fatiha. Because Surah Al-Fatiha, one of the surah, according to the majority of the scholar, revealed in the beginning of Mecca time. One Britisher, he was teaching in England in a class in university. When he said to the people, he challenged them, he said, Quran is wrong. They asked him, how come? He said, I prove it to you. He said, all Quran calling Allah promised to give victory to the believer. Allah promised in Quran, He gave victory to the believer. The believer in the upper hand. The believer as he are the ruler of the earth. The believer, he said, and you guys call yourself a Muslim. How come you are contradicting your own books and what you believe? Quran is wrong. Quran is not the word of Allah. It's not the word of the Creator. One student, he gave him the answer. And the answer is very simple. He said, the promise of Allah is true. We the wrong one, not the Quran. We the one, we not the believer of the quality the Quran talk about it. And he said, with all respect to you, professor, if you read carefully, you will find out every promise has a condition. Listen to me carefully. Every promise in Quran has a condition. You meet the condition, Allah fulfills the promise. Today we want Allah to give us the promise, but we do not want to fulfill the condition. Do you understand or no? It just came in my heart now. And I give you an example quick. Write this down if you have a notebook. Verse 3, chapter 65, and verse 11, chapter 64, and verse 2, chapter 65, and verse 65, chapter 8. I'm going to repeat them again. Verse 3, chapter 65. Verse 11, chapter 64. Verse 2, chapter 65. Verse 65, chapter 8. And Quran follow them. If you go back and read them, one of them, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever rely on Allah, Allah will be the guardian. By this way, how I make Allah my guardian, I have to do tawakkul. If I do not do tawakkul, if I do not rely on Allah, Allah will not be my guardian. Can I be? I want Allah to be my guardian, but I think about everything else except Allah? No. Tawakkul deny everybody. And this is a very high level of iman. We too far from it. And once you really reach it, you will live in a very beautiful peace and contentment. وَمَا يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَتَقَلْ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guide his heart. You see it or not? وَمَا يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guide his heart. Condition. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fear Allah and have taqwa, Allah will open for him. Today, let me tell you.
tell you something. Today sometimes when I'm sitting with Muslims, I won't run away. They fear everybody except Allah. They worry about everything except Allah. Now you know what is the meaning? Every time a situation was, what are we going to do? What about tomorrow? Who will do? Who will we say? What will happen? What is that? Where's iman? Where's tawakkul? Where's relying on Allah? You deny it. Can Allah give me victory? No way. Can Allah win for me? No way. Who's the poor person? Me. Who's the ultimate poor in the earth? It's me. Because I'm denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be supporter of me. I'm the one who denies Allah to be my supporter. Allah has willingly not to be supporter of anybody, but in one condition. I rely on Allah. I trust in Allah. I fear Allah. I have taqwa in my heart. Now we go, inshaAllah, to Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha, I said before, and before we go to Surah Al-Fatiha, I remind myself anew by A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. One scholar said, imagine an enemy you do not prepare yourself from. An enemy you do not ask Allah to protect you from. Repeat this after me and try to learn it. It's very powerful, especially if you do it at least 10 times daily. And any condition you do it, Ya Allah, it's very powerful. A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim. Wa nur wajhihi al-kareem. وسلطانه القديم وعرشه العظيم الكريم وبيته العظيم من الشيطان الرجيم. This is a very powerful isti'adah. Very powerful isti'adah. And this is one of the isti'adah that is recommended before you enter Al-Haram al-Makki, you're saved. But who, how many people know? If you recite it, or you say it daily, it's very powerful, especially in the daytime or before you go to sleep. I'm going to say it again slowly, and hopefully either you write it, or those who have a cassette can record it, and do it later on. A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim.
Wa nur wajhihi
al-kareem. وعرشه العظيم الكريم وسلطانه القديم وبيته العظيم من الشيطان الرجيم. I wish before I die, when I have a session with a male and female, I hear the male talking like a male. If you see the male, the way you're talking, you won't really bury yourself for life. The mouth is like this. The voice of the female is higher than the voice of a male. Open your mouth and recite loud, by this way you can remember. You shy to recite? Recite! You make me even forget it. A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim.
A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim.
Wa nuri wajhihi al-kareem.
Wa nuri wajhihi al-kareem.
Wa sultanihi al-qadeem.
Wa sultanihi al-qadeem.
وعرشه العظيم الكريم وبيته العقيم من الشيطان الرجيم. I know what you did. What happened is this one is the right one, but it doesn't matter. Let me repeat it one more time. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم.
ونور وجهه الكريم.
ونور وجهه الكريم.
وسلطانه القديم. وعرشه العظيم الكريم.
وعرشه العظيم الكريم.
وبيته العقيم.
وبيته العقيم.
من الشيطان الرجيم.
من الشيطان الرجيم.
Do you understand what you're saying? Who understand what you're saying? Does anybody understand it? أعوذ بالله. I seek refuge from Allah. From with Allah. From
الشيطان.
No, but wait. As-Sami al-Alim. The most one who hears. Al-Alim, the knower. The one who knows it all. Wa nuri wajhihi kareem. And with the light of the beautiful, beautiful face of Allah. Because the light of Allah is very powerful. And when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his most beautiful face, it's very powerful. Wa sultani al-qadim. The kingdom of Allah is the old kingdom. Because Allah's kingdom is very old. Wa arshihi al-azim al-kareem. The high, exalted, elevated throne of Allah. وَبَيْتِهِ الْعَطِيقِ The Kaaba. مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Do you understand it now? It's a very beautiful isti'adah. And a very powerful isti'adah. And by the way, isti'adah is also a cure from shaitan and from jinn. Those who have the problem with shaitan and jinn is enough. But how you recite it? If you recite it in a time of fear, and you say, "A'udhu billahi min shaitan wa jinn," do you think Allah will give you something? No. You say it with complete conviction. Allah with you. All you need, a lips, and a heart, and a tongue is equal. Full of belief in Allah. And if you do so, and nothing in your heart except Allah, no shaitan can exist in the front of you. You can burn any shaitan. You can burn any jinn. You can burn any disease. But with what? With a heart and a tongue and a lips is equal. Only believe in Allah, only rely on Allah, only devoted to Allah, only arrive at Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Fatiha, I tell you before, one scholar, his name Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, what he said about Surah Al-Fatiha? He said, Surah Al-Fatiha is containing everything. It is a summary of all revelation. It's actually the summary of the Quran. It's a gift from Allah to Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a gift. It's very powerful. And he said, Surah Al-Fatiha is a summary of all that. And in Surah Al-Fatiha is a verse, a summary of all revelation. And I said it before, everybody should never forget this verse. What is it? I cannot hear you. I cannot hear you. But you do not recite it this way. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. If you have a problem, and you go and you make wudu, and you make two rak'ah, and you start reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and when the time coming, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, stop. And keep reciting it, and close your heart to Allah. And cry to Allah and say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Keep reciting until you forget everybody except Allah. At this moment, what will happen? Allah will be your guardian. Allah will be your protector. Allah will be your doer. Allah will be your supporter. Allah will be your guider, your light, everything for you. But only if you say this verse in the way it should be. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, what he said? He said, according to the status of worship, according to the status of support. And you have to know, the status of the worship, we can divide it into two. Worship outside and worship inside. The worship outside, which the ritual, the work we see together. Fasting, salah, zakah, hajj, this is the action. But all this ritual have another ritual. Do you know what is it? Is the status of your own heart in the time of doing it. And this one missing from all of us, may Allah forgive me, because I'm a guilty like you exactly, is no different. It's just we are guilty in a different level. One of the companions we know, when he went cut his own leg, and he was very sick, he said, wait until I go to Salah. And when I enter Salah, you can cut it because it's the time I can feel it. Another man, he was praying when he had an earthquake, and people run, and the masjid completely destroyed, and he stayed in Salah. And when he finished, and everybody left, he came and he looked, he found nobody around. He said, what happened? He said, is it an earthquake? Did you hear? He said, no, how am I here? I was with Allah. How I can hear earthquake? A man, his family used to have a habit. Used to be very quiet until he came home. When he got home, he said, if you want to talk, if you want to do whatever you want, wait until I go to Salah because I cannot hear. Look at these people and look at us. Look at these people and look at us. We're standing with Salah and we're smelling what Mawlana is cooking. We worry about everything in life. Why? The heart is attached to whom? Not to Allah. Because if your heart attached to Allah, you will never worry about nobody. Never. But what I'm talking about will not come overnight. You have to live it. You have to sacrifice. You have to really think about it. You have to do a lot of things. You have to close your mouth from every situation, every bad thought. You have to be only in the company of goodness. If you do not do that, none of this would happen. And even when you come in Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the angel asked Allah, oh Allah, your servant said that, Allah said, Kadhiba abdi, my slave is a liar. He doesn't mean it. You see, you can say Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Allah did not look at you. Why? You are a liar. And in the meantime, if you're honest, and your heart and your lips and your tongue is equal, and you have nothing in your heart except Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sadaqa abdi, my servant is honest, give him whatever he wants. Give him whatever he wish. Today we need that, my brother. We don't need more, too much talk. We need honesty and sincerity between us and Allah. We need devotion to Allah. And this devotion and sincerity will not come when I mix my time and my day with nonsense, with computer, with TV, with games, with backbiting, with namima, with ghaiba. It cannot be. It cannot be. Like Imam Muhammad al-Razali rahmatullah alayhi, he said something very beautiful. He said, Zahar, think about it as an apartment. A room. Either contain shayateen or containing angels. Because shayateen and angel never mix. Angel and devil never mix. In any given time you have one of them, but you cannot have both. If you are in a state of obedience, a state of closeness to Allah, you have what? Angels. If you're a state of disobedience, nonsense, worry about games, talk about nonsense all day, you are with whom? Who's your companion? Shayateen. Now, do you think your heart will have what? Shayateen. Now you go to Salah. You said Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kadhiba abdi. Is not Allahu Akbar. Because what you're thinking about is Akbar. What your devotion to is Akbar. We have to wake up before it's too late. The topic is very serious. Verse who would the grave, young and old. And if we do not discover the reality now, the reality would be too late. And at this time, you cannot change. You cannot say, excuse me, let me go back. Let me spend it. Let me do. Let me go. Let me say, Ya Allah, no way. But this Surah Al-Fatiha is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the whole Ummah. What about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Look at this. If you really recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's so beautiful. What are you doing every day? Really, both of you. Please. When you are in halaqa, having manner, the more you have manner, the more you hear. I said before, anybody do not want to come in here because mommy and daddy don't come. Only if you want to learn, you come. If you want to come because mommy and daddy, stay outside much better. For us and for you. I do not want anybody here coming for mommy and daddy. I want everybody here to come for Allah only. And sit straight. Don't sit like that. Sit straight. Straight. Very well. Because a lot of young people sit down like 90 years old. No, don't do that. Sit straight. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as a medium, Subhanallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Do you ever even look to Allah, how it's written? So beautiful. Do you know one person who is walking and he finds Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in a piece of paper, but it's broken. He took it from the mud, he washed it, and he kissed it, he put it in his head, and he took it home, and he put it together, and he put it in the wall. The same night, he saw a dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to him. He said, you elevate my name, I elevate you in the day of judgment. How many of us do not have respect to the word of Allah? I see people having their elbow over Quran, putting Quran all over. They sit down reading and their legs up. You know, let me tell you something. You want to receive from Allah, see the way you're sitting. The humble you are, the manner you are, the humility you are, the beggar you are, the more Allah will give you. And for those who recite Quran, every time you recite Quran with respect to Allah, slowly, and in trying to cry to Allah, Allah will give you. It is a story about a man illiterate. A man illiterate in the desert. He cannot read Quran.
Pardon.
He cannot read Quran. He keeps crying to Allah, oh Allah, let me read Quran. Let me read Quran. Send me somebody to teach me Quran. He cannot. He was alone in the desert. For years go by, his eyes getting weaker. He said, Allah, let me read Quran before I get blind. He keep weeping until he become blind. But he's honest. And even after blind, he keep having the Quran. He said, Allah, you know now, you take my eyes, I still want to read Quran. And he opened Quran and started reading. He started reading Quran when he was blind. Why? Why Allah allows certain things like this to happen? And we make it a story and we say, why? To remember the power of Allah. To remember the power of Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Why Allah said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Because when you study in Arabic, Ar-Rahman, the owner of mercy. Ar-Rahman is an owner of mercy. They translate it as a merciful one. Ar-Rahim is a merciful one. Does anybody know what's the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Anybody know what's the difference between Rahman and Rahim? He said, Ar-Rahman only from Allah, Ar-Rahim from mankind. This one is a meaning. Go ahead.
Ar-Rahman, does he mean the one who gives their mercy to the hearts of the people, that they have to have mercy? And Rahim is the one who has the mercy to
the people. She said, is the one who gives the mercy to mankind and put it in the heart, and Rahim, she said something similar to the first sentence. Go ahead.
He's Rahman to Muslims, but he's Rahim to all mankind.
Actually, the opposite. He said Ar-Rahman to Muslim, Ar-Rahim to mankind. It's the opposite. Some scholars said Ar-Rahman to mankind, to everybody, to ins, jinn, animal, creature, everybody. He's so merciful. You believe, you disbelieve, you commit sins, even you acting against Allah, He still gives you. This is why you remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when one day he was generous, very generous, Ibrahim alayhi salam. One day somebody knocked on the door. He said, I'm a beggar, I'm a traveler, I need food. He said, do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in the oneness of Allah? He said, no. He said, go away. I cannot feed you. Allah sent an angel. He said, yeah, Ibrahim, I feed them for 60 something years, and you cannot feed them one time for me. He ran after him. And he told him, please come, I feed you. He said, no. You insulted me and you let me run away. I do not want to eat from you. He said, please. And he begged him, please come and eat. He said, what made you change your mind? He said, the Creator sent an angel and tell me such and such. He said, I believe in the Creator, I will feed you. And he became a Muslim. This is the quality of Allah. Do you know zakah money? Zakah money, the one who spread it. Part of this zakah, what Allah said in the Quran, part of them to whom? وَالْمُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ.
Part of the disbelievers.
Yes. Part of the disbeliever who are your neighbors or friend or acquaintance or whatever who are needy. This happened in Mecca. Al-Mu'allafa Qulubuhum. The one to unite their heart. If we not be generous, how we can unite the heart of people around us? Tell me. Just fighting them over internet, insulting, complaining, gives him hujja? No. This is not the quality of a Muslim. This is not the quality of an animal. Unless you have generosity, unless you have kindness, unless you spread generosity and kindness, you can go anywhere. Just one moment. But mercy until what? Until the day of judgment. Now, Rahim. Some scholars said, Rahim of the believer in the day of judgment. He will be mercy to the believer in the day of judgment. Because one of the ultimate mercy to forgive your sins, to lead you to paradise. One of the ultimate mercy to give you tawbah, to allow you to forgive, to repent. One of the ultimate mercy to seek Allah's guidance, to call Allah. This is the ultimate mercy. This is why there's a question in here. Some people said, why Muslim country is so poor? Why so Muslim country is so oppressed? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a Muslim? Why? Why He gives them more than us? It's actually one Imam, his name is Imam Samarkand, from Samarkand. He said something very beautiful, and he took it from hadith, a very long hadith between Musa alayhi salam and Allah.
And part of the hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes us the end of time. But we will not stay in our grave for a long time. He makes us short. He makes us not big body. But we will not oppress others like what many nations did. He makes us without not too much money. But we will not get arrogant. He didn't give us too much beauty. Again, because we do not, but we will not get arrogant. Because look at our life. Once you have someone close, you get arrogant, and arrogant destroys you. And this is why even some of us, once we coming into the United States or Europe or Australia, and Allah give us some money, we forget who we are. We forget where we come from. We forget our own people. And we become arrogant for the limited money we have. Imagine if you multi-millionaire or billionaire, what will happen to us? If we poor and arrogant, you know the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I hate the rich arrogant, and I hate the poor arrogant most. I hate the rich arrogant, and I hate the poor arrogant most. Because if you're poor, you should not be arrogant. May Allah forgive us. I meet some of us, Ya Allah, is like you afflict him with like 100 of tons of helium. He cannot walk in earth. And he's so poor, he has nothing, he or she. Beauty we do not have, quality we do not have, knowledge we do not have, money we do not have. What we are arguing about? Ya Allah, amazing. Like you go to some Arabic culture without which I'm never, in other words, you kill me, you find the majority of our female wearing jeans. And mashallah, our female have a nice big body. Why are you wearing jeans? Why are you wearing tight pants? For what? What do you want to show off? Amazing. Amazing. I do not understand it. This is called blindness. Imagine if Allah makes the same girl a little bit beauty. What will happen? She will nothing. I do not understand it. If there's no Muslim wearing jeans, is there a business? If Allah gives him some beauty, it's Allah business. But why I do the same? I do not even have a common sense. We love to imitate for nothing. But we do not have even a sense what we wear and why we wear and for whom we wear. By this way, according to all your own humble and humility in this life, Allah will be merciful with you in the hereafter. Do you remember the two qualities I tell you? Two qualities will make you gain all the quality, and two qualities make you destroy all the quality. Then who makes me happy today and remember that? Okay, the first one.
If you're humble and generous,
mashallah.
Those are the two qualities that the good qualities. Two bad qualities are if you're arrogant and you're stingy.
MashaAllah, this man made me happy. If you live with those, I promise you, inshaAllah, you have the happiness of this life in the after. The two quality, it will give you all the quality Allah can give to anybody, is two. The two key quality, humble and humility in one, and generosity another one. I want you to add something to that. Humble and humility and good manner, they come together. Humble and humility and good manner is one package. And generosity, another one. If you have those, I promise you all the quality you have. And if you do not have those, or you have tiny, tiny bit of those, you have many, many bad quality. And the two qualities destroy you, and it will destroy anybody, arrogant and stingy. Arrogant and stingy. When I went to Guyana one time, they tell me to go to meet the poor people coming to collect zakat. And they're very simple people. A lot of them are illiterate. And I did a session there, and I call it the keys of happiness. And all these scholars, they said, the key of happiness is two. Anybody remember the key of happiness is two? The key of happiness is two. Who made me happy? I say it many times. Huh? Huh?
Asia Pacific, you're almost there. Al-Rida wal-Yaqeen. Al-Rida wal-Yaqeen. Don't ever forget it. Al-Rida wal-Yaqeen is the key of happiness in this life and hereafter. Al-Rida wal-Yaqeen. What is Rida? I cannot hear you. What is Rida? Do you hear them? What is Rida? I want to hear you.
Contentment.
I want to hear you.
Contentment.
Don't ever forget it. This one key. What's another key? Al-Yaqeen. What is Yaqeen? What's the translation of Yaqeen in English? No. No, in English. English-wise. No, it's not a faith. Faith can be Iman. Yeah. What is Yaqeen in English? People try to translate it as the strong faith, or the faith without doubt. But that, no. Because Yaqeen is a high level of faith. The certainty is a, some people tell me before, the certainty is a certainty of faith. Some people translate it, the certainty of faith. Yaqeen is a certainty of faith, meaning a faith without no doubt. A very strong faith. You cannot just tell me faith, because faith can be meaning nothing. By this way, what is another key of happiness? Eh? Yes, and Rida. Don't ever forget it. Rida and Yaqeen. And the two keys of destruction and misery. No. Ash-shuhha wa tu'ud al-amal. Stingy and long haul. Ash-shuhha wa tu'ud al-amal. Stingy and long haul. You will destroy anybody. Okay? Maliki yawm al-deen. The owner of the Day of Judgment. What is missing today from us without thinking about the Day of Judgment? If you think about the Day of Judgment, this will not be your condition. Never. If you're dealing with the owner of Day of Judgment, this will not be your condition. No way. Because your owners will do it more, the one will own you, and the one you will be answer him. Do you think if we believe in the Day of Judgment, we'll oppress ourselves like what we're doing? I bear witness to Allah, I hardly meet a Muslim family, the wife is happy or the man is happy. I hardly meet a Muslim family, a husband is alive, acting like a husband and a wife. All bickering, fighting, arguing, different mentality, different everything. No obedience, no humble, no mercy, no contempt. And this is scary. If the husband and wife has no harmony with each other, what's the style of house? How is the kids will be? And why? Because we do not believe in Allah. We do not believe in Allah. Because if you believe in Allah, you will never do that, male or female. If you hate your wife so much, if you hate your husband so much, why are you living with him? So please, divorce me for Allah. Let us live in peace. But to live like that, an enemy to each other, under one roof, and call this marriage, Ya Allah, it's very tragedy. It should not be among each other, none. But I bear witness to Allah, I hardly meet a family as harmony. Why? Because our belief is weak. We do not really believe in Allah. We do not believe in the Day of Judgment. Because if I believe in the Day of Judgment, I will never do that. Honest to Allah, I will never do that. You cut me into pieces, but I will never do this to you. Today we make room each other. If you're dealing with Allah, you will never deal with others. You're dealing with Allah.
What happened if my husband is a worse man? What happened if my wife is a worse woman? It's not my business. It's their business. But I should deal with them the way Allah want, not the way they want, not the way they are. I'm a slave to Allah. I'm not a slave to wife or husband for condition. Don't ever stop that, because this is a part of my belief. Imagine I go and I recite Surah Al-Fatiha and I say, Malik Yawmiddin, but I'm doing mischief? How? How? How I do mischief and said Malik Yawmiddin? How? And even in another recitation, Malik Yawmiddin, the king or the owner? Or you can both of them, the king and the owner of the Day of Judgment. The one he would say, لِمَنْ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ. Where is the Jababira? أَيْنَ الْجَبَابِرَ? Where is the oppressor? Where is the kings? Where is the one who oppressed each other? He quote that in the Day of Judgment. And nobody can reply until Allah permit after a long time. Do we believe we're going to stand in the front of Allah? Do you believe we will be accountable of what we say? Do you believe in that? If I believe in that, how is my manner and behavior? And you said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Only you, Allah, we worship. Only you, ya Allah, we seek support and help. Here, what was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he was behind him in a mule or a camel, and he said, Ya ghulam, u'allimaka kalimat. Oh my son, or the boy, I teach you a word. احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك بشيء لن ينفعوك إلا بشيء فاتخذه الله لك. واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لن يضروك إلا بشيء فاتخذه الله عليك. جفت الأقلام وطويل الصحف. Oh my boy, listen to this warning. Believe me, this is not for us. احفظ الله يحفظك. Fear Allah. Deal with Allah. Take care about Allah. Be the guardian of Allah and be the Allah the guardian of you. What it means be the guardian of Allah? Allah doesn't need anybody to be guardian. Meaning you guard yourself for Allah. You deal with everything toward Allah. Meaning you look at everything with an eye Allah is watching you. If you do that, Allah will save you. Allah will guard you. Allah will support you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. If you are with Allah, Allah always will be with you. إذا سألت, if you ask, ask Allah. If you ask, ask Allah. And if you seek support only from Allah. And you have to know, if the whole ummah, if mankind came to benefit you of something, is not written for you, they will not benefit you except of what Allah ordained for you. And if the whole ummah, if mankind get together to harm you, they will not harm you of whatever Allah ordained for you. Pens is dry, the paper and books is lifted, and that's it. And closed, meaning that's it. What happening today? We fear everybody. We seek everybody. Are we supposed to seek only one? Seek Allah. Ask Allah. Fear Allah. Love Allah. Nobody else. The more you develop that, the more Allah will give you. This إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to straight path. The path of Quran, the path of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those who are guiding them and be kind to them, and be generous to them, and be merciful to them, the one you shoot them, the one you give them, not the one astray, and not the one be cursed by you. Many scholars talk about those as the Jews and the Christians, Allah only knows. But anyone deviated from the path, he is among those. Today, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we deviated the wrong way. We have to go back quick, and we have no time. Some people tell me last week, and this week even, I'm so tough. Let me tell you, how much we can wait? We wait for what? Look at our children. Look at our houses. It's already destroyed. How much you save? Save what? We are so sleepy and so blind to the point we cannot see. We so stingy, we so ignorant, we do not know. We are reciting and we do not know what we are reciting. We believe in Allah, but our action completely disbelieve. And we said we have to wait, wait for what? And a story I'm going to tell you quick. This story I love so much. It's a very small story, but I love it so much, and I repeat it many times. The story of Musa alayhi salam. You remember it? I always say it, but I say it to remember myself and remind you and remind myself and remember it, and you to be remembered too. When Musa alayhi salam was in the desert, take care of the sheep, and he went to sleep, and he get up, and he finds a shepherd. Who's a shepherd? It's a wolf. The wolf has a stick of wood to care about the sheep for him. The wolf acting like a shepherd for him. And he was shocked. What Allah told him, O Ya Musa, why are you shocked? You shocked of the wolf, or the one Allah allowed the wolf to work for you? O Musa, be to me the way I want. I will be for you the way you want. Don't ever forget it. O Ya Musa, be to me the way I want. I will be for you the way you want. You want more? What Allah will do for you, see what you do between you and Allah. The more you work for Allah, the more Allah works for you. The more you devoted yourself to Allah, the more Allah give you. The more you spreading goodness, Allah give you goodness. The more you spreading mercy, Allah be merciful with you. The more you are generous, Allah will be generous with you. The more you're supporting Allah and you're supporting Islam and you're holding tight on the rope of Allah, the more Allah give you. The more you love other, the more Allah make other love you. Don't ever forget that. The more you are mercy, Allah be mercy with you. The way you are of the quality, the way Allah will be with you. Any question, any concern?
MashaAllah. No question, no question. Go ahead.
If somebody invites you to a wedding or a party, what you have to do? Yes, according to Islam, if a Muslim brother and sister invite you of a walima or a aqiqa, what is a walima? Walima is almost like the wedding after the marriage, not before. Walima is after, not before. And walima is not the way we do. And aqiqa is not the way we do. Now, if you study in Islam, there's a fiqh behind it. They said if your brother, a Muslim, invite you to their house or their whatever invitation, if you have bid'ah, if you have dalala, if you have anything against Allah, like music, dancing, alcohol, nonsense, okay, woman naked, do not go. And you say, please forgive me, the environment is not Islamic. Even if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, it doesn't matter. You're a slave to Allah, you're not a slave to them. If you want to be so kind, go quick, give them a gift, whatever, and in a few minutes, leave immediately. But do not take the family and sit down, no. You cannot do that. Because if you die in the middle of the wedding, what do you say to Allah? We're not supposed to be in these places. And if we start boycotting our own brother Muslims, the one who's doing mischief, just start stopping. So excuse me, you have Islamic walima, you have Islamic aqiqah, you have Islamic marriage, I can't. If you have a lot of culture, and Pakistani, Indian, whatever, forget it. I must live to Allah, not live to you. I'm going to ask Allah. Because today, we're not doing Islam in a time of wali. We're not doing Islam even in a time of janazah. We're not doing Islam at any time. We do the time of Islam only the time we like. Do you know what it means? These are pure hypocrite and lie. Because if you are a Muslim, very simple, even if you do not know, excuse me, so-and-so learned a course on a scholar, how the wedding should be, how the walima should be, from Islam, Quran, and Sunnah. And even if I go a little bit out, I should be a little bit out, but not completely out. You know? And how much out is allowed, I should check out. You know, I should see what is allowed. We should not be a part of any mission. We should not be. Loyalty to Allah above anything, we read it today. This actually started in Al-An. Your loyalty to Allah. Your loyalty to Allah. Your loyalty to Allah. No husband, no wife, no kids, no father, no mother, no brother, no sister above Allah. And you have a principle in Islam. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. No obedience to any creature or any creation in the disobedience of Allah. This is the main fundamental belief. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us in the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live as a Muslim, die as a Muslim, resurrected as a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sincerity in the seen and unseen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the bounty of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the light of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see the most beautiful name of Allah and the most beautiful face of Allah in the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live according to the way it pleasing Him, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah allow us to die in the way it pleasing Him, inshaAllah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين. استغفر الله سبحانه وتعالى. And please, when you leave in contentment, leave in tranquility. Don't talk and save yourself. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب. سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The followers of the company never did this. If it was good, how come they never do? How come Rasulullah never invite us to something like that? All of a sudden, we are now is the most ultimate people. We reached so hard. No. A lot of this corruption system, get away. I dealt with people. I went around to a Turkish family. And the woman came to me and told me, Sheikh so-and-so, and she showed me the picture. Okay? He said, you step in his foot, when you look at his hand, he shows you the kingdom of Allah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You understand me? You have a lot of things, it's completely out of Islam. If you know Quran and Sunnah, you will never be persuaded by such people. You don't need none of them. You need Allah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first revelation tell you to go to these people? Allah didn't come to me. Rely on me. Why do you need these pious people? You need the pious people to learn from them. He needs the pious people to gain advice from them. But not this hanky-panky, you know, relationship, no. Get away from that. It's very dangerous. Because the majority of sense today is corruption. A lot of corruption. A lot of corruption. Because even if I'm really pious and I want to do good to you, I will do it without even you know. I will make dua for you unfinished. I cannot hear you. Okay, can I tell you something? It's Salat al-Zuhr now. All kind of story, all kind of talk, I will be after Zuhr, available until 5, 6 o'clock. We can talk about all this topic in details. Okay, anybody more than welcome, I can talk to you about this topic in detail. Okay, inshallah, and I have also very beautiful books for you if you want, about you. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
فاستغفروه إليه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وحسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ونفوض أمرنا إلى الله إن الله نصير العباد اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يقربنا إلى حبك محبوب عبادك فيه اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص في السر والعلانية اللهم ارزقنا الصدق في السر والعلانية اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله tomorrow I want you to read the beginning of Surah Al-An'am and the end of Surah Al-An'am. The beginning of Surah Al-An'am and the end of Surah Al-An'am.